is so good. I'm telling you, I just tell you, there's a wonderful spirit in this house tonight. You have, and sometimes, you know, you got to just realize it and say, well, I'm just not feeling it. Well, press in. Just press into it, you know, because the Spirit of God's here. And sometimes we can just let the cares of this world, the worries and all that stuff, kind of pull that away from us. We have to just shut that all down.
Amen.
Amen. Just shut it down and just let the Spirit of the Lord just move in you. Turn your Bibles with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is a very familiar scripture to you all. Should be. We talk about it. I talk about it a whole lot because, you know, part of living for God is living the life of God. Did you hear what I said? It's not just living and being saved, but it's living the life that God has given you. Amen. God has given you an abundant life. A life that's, the Amplified says that we're to live to the full till it overflows. And the trouble with the church a lot of times is that we're not living that overflowing life. We realize we're saved and we're glad we're saved and we know we're on our way to heaven, but we're really not making that transfer. What am I talking about, transfer? Well, since we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of His dear Son, that transfer brought you and I to a different place, living in a different family, under different rules. Come on, we're living actually in a different world, even though we're still on this earth. Our habitation now is in the kingdom of God, not in the kingdom of the world. So we have to get ourselves to the point where we start thinking that way and looking at ourselves that way and say, you know what? I'm not living in the world. I don't have to act like the world. I don't have to be the world because I'm in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God tells me that I'm a child of God. Right? So I'm no longer a slave to fear. We just sung about that. But also I realize and know that I have all the freedoms of the Word of God and all the privileges of the Word of God, and I can activate those in my life if I want to. Amen. And here's the thing, it takes some work on our behalf. We have to do something, and I think that's why the church misses it a lot, is because we don't want to have to do anything. Right? I got tickled at Pastor Ed. I'm going to tell off on you a little bit tonight, Pastor Ed. I told you I'd go and get you in the office over there. I told you. I gave you fair warning. Y'all do know you're not supposed to mess with the preacher, right? Because he can, you know. So she was just talking about me a little bit in there, and I really didn't mean to do this, sweetheart, but it's a perfect example. And so I might as well to use it. Right? Okay, Pastorette said this, and just like I said, we don't want to have to do anything, right? We don't. God, it's all available to us, but we don't want to have to work for it. We don't want to have to do anything. Pastorette said her foot was hurting, and she said, "I wish they would make a lotion that you don't have to rub in." Right? I mean, what are lotions for? To rub in. Right? Rub in wherever, whatever ails you, whatever kind you rub, you've got to rub it in. See, the anointing, the word anointing actually means rubbed in, smeared on, you know. Right? It made a better story. Okay. I'm telling you. You want to get up here and preach? Come on. We'll double time. Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? It's the way the church is. We want the anointing, but we don't want to rub it in. We want what God wants for us, but we don't want to have to do anything for it. We want to just sit back and let God pour it on us. You know, don't make us have to do anything, God. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a battle. There is a fight to the fight of faith. And I'm going to tell you something. It's worth it. And that's what we're talking about tonight. It is worth it. Here in Deuteronomy, the Lord is saying this, and you, again, you ought to know this one kind of by heart. Verse 19, He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you have to do something. Right? It's already set there for you. He says, I've already said it here. And a matter of fact, I've got heaven and earth as witnesses that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. But then he says this, choose what? Choose life. Look at that. Choose life. Your part. Choose life. You've got to make a decision. You've got to do something. Choose life. And look why. That both you and your seed may live. Your work can spill over onto your seed. Come on, get a hold of that, church. How you are moving in the kingdom, how you're acting in the kingdom, the way you are pressing into the kingdom of God and receiving the things of God affects your children. When you get up on Sunday morning, there ain't no question about whether you're going to church or not and whether they're going to church or not. Come on, that makes a difference, see? When they see you, the first thing you do when something happens. We live in a natural body. Sometimes they get attacked. But when they see you pray and believe God, when they say, come up to you and say, Mom, I feel like I'm hot, and you lay your hands on them first before you go for the title and all of that, nothing wrong with those things. But they need to see you active in the kingdom of God because it gives them life too. Choose life, he says, for you and your seed. You and your kids. We wonder why our generations seem to like they're going away from God. Well, the answer is very simple. It's because the parents are going away from God. Come on. It's not about, oh, there's so many distractions and all that. No, they're out there. Believe me, they are. There's all kinds of them. But the fact is that parents aren't choosing life so that they and their kids can live. Now, parents are choosing. My goodness, it's amazing the things that they are choosing. You know, we got 40, 50-year-old men that would rather play a game as to go to work. Come on now. They'd rather play a game than to take their family out somewhere. You see, the enemy's real good at taking things and causing us to choose those things rather than the life of God. Come on, you know, and the fact is this, if you sit up all night, it's going to be real hard for you to get up the next morning. And so the kids learn that, you know, we just do this all night and we sleep all day. Don't get mad at me because I'm just preaching good right there. But this is where we're at. We're on our devices and we're on all this stuff. And we wonder why it is that we're letting the life of God slip away from us. It's because we're not choosing life. We're choosing other things. And he says plainly, choose life so you can live. Come on now. There's nothing wrong with a little entertainment. God doesn't mind that. But it's got to be in moderation. If, matter of fact, it ought to be lopsided as far as the things of God versus the things of the world. But most of the time it is lopsided, but the wrong way. So here he's telling us, he says, you've got to choose life so that you and your seed can live. And then he goes on and says this, that you may love the Lord your God, and you may obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave to Him, for He is thy life. Now listen to this. He is thy life and the length of thy days. You want to live a long life on this earth? You better choose the God life. And I'm going to tell you again, it's worth it, but it don't come automatically. You have to do some things. It's up to you to get into the Word of God. It's up to you to pray. It's up to you to teach your kids. Listen, if you don't teach your kids about God, they're sure not going to hear it other places. They're going to hear about everything else. TikTok will not teach your kids. It'll teach your kids all right, but it won't teach them about God. When you hear them say that little word, where in the world did they get that from? They got that from a time when you were not paying attention to what they were watching. Oh, no, I make sure my kids is in the same room with me. Don't make a bit of difference if they're in the same room with you. Because you're distracted doing what you're doing, and they're doing what they're doing, and sometimes they've even got the earplugs in. Amen. I'll just tell off on her. She'd get mad at me. She's my grandchild. I've been there, and Stephanie, Lillian, be just flipping through things, not intentionally. Now I don't believe, but I've heard her. She'd be watching some kind of thing, and then maybe fooling around, talking back and forth, and whatever, And then all of a sudden, I hear a cuss word. And I go, Lily, what? She realizes it too, what are you listening to? And she didn't know it was going to happen, but I'm just saying that's where they hear this stuff. That's where they see this stuff. Can I tell off on me? I'll tell off on me, Pastor. Is it okay? About time. Okay. Like I don't tell off on me enough. Okay. All right. Okay. When Lillian was just, I don't know how, she was a few years old. I was watching a show that I had no idea that it had any language in it. It was like a comedy thing, and she was sitting there and she was watching it with me, And all of a sudden this guy comes out and says this blankety blank thing or something like that, And Lillian's sitting there and she laughs and she says she repeats him. I said, no, Lily, don't. I mean, that's... And as far as I know, Papa was the one that let her hear the first bad word. So I'm telling off on me. Now, it was accidental, but I'm just saying, even accidentally, things can happen. Now, she repeated that word a few times. And so I had to tell her, Mommy, I messed up. She said, well, that's pitiful. Papa and Pastor let her hear her first bad word. And I said, yeah, I did. Yeah. But, if that can happen to me watching me with her, what about when they're by themselves? So we have to be careful, and especially as they get older. I'm going to tell you something. They're a lot smarter than you are on most of those devices. Before I knew how to arrange my icons on my smartphone, Lillian Pearl was doing it for me. Seriously, how you can group them together so you don't have so many and put them all in. She said, here, Papa, I can do that. Maybe 4 years old. They're smart. So we have to make sure that we're giving life to our kids, because even at our best, we'll still mess up sometimes. See, I'll tell off on me, and I regret that. I hate that. But there ain't nothing I can do about it now. Just ask God to forgive me and told her, make sure she knew it was wrong. Sometimes parents aren't even telling their kids things are wrong. Come on. And so we have to make sure that we're choosing life, because choosing life is a constant warfare. The enemy is always throwing stuff at us, always pushing stuff at us. I just went through, and I'm telling off on me again, Pastor Ed, it's about time, I know. But I just went through a thing on my phone that, when I opened it up, I was afraid somebody would get a hold of my phone, think I was looking at stuff I wasn't supposed to be looking at. It would come up and say, like, Hollywood celebs. It was ads. And it wouldn't be Hollywood celebs. It'd be a woman there in bikini or what, She might have been a celebrity. I don't know, but it wouldn't, it didn't show them dressed in an evening gown. Let's put it like that. They weren't naked or anything, but still it was, and it was just all kinds of different ads like that. And I kept going up there and pushing, see less of. So I didn't know what else to do. Maybe y'all do. See, again, I'm not real savvy, I told Pastor it today. I said, I think I finally got rid of that stupid stuff. But I had to just continually, every day it was a warfare. Just go down through there, and I've never tried the ad thing. Has anybody tried the ad thing where you push this and comment, does it work? Yeah, well, okay. I got 10 friends and 10,000 ads when I scroll through my Facebook, and so works for a few minutes, okay, just briefly then. I was always kind of concerned where I'd do that or not, if somebody just messing, but I'd seen different people that I trusted, and I thought, wonder if that worked. I never would call them and ask them if it worked. I just didn't do it. I just kept going on, But I'm just saying that we're always bombarded. There's always this constant warfare. And you have to be careful, because in order to keep living this God life, you have to avoid the obstacles that the enemy will throw at you. And I asked Pastor Ed, I said, you get this kind of ads on your phone? She said, no. And I just wondered, is it because it was I'm a man, a male? See, some of you are looking at me funny. They're listening to you all the time. Okay. And so I think it was a targeted thing just because of me being a male, not a pastor or anything like that, you know. And I've talked to some other guys, and they say they get that kind of stuff and have to try to get rid of it. You know, so that tells me, I mean, you know, if you don't think they're listening to you, just pick out a particular product that you're thinking about or whatever, and you just sit around and talk about it just a little bit. You know, I would love to have me some Ashley Furniture coffee tables. You know, they cost a whole lot, but I'd sure like to have me some Ashley Furniture coffee tables. Don't be surprised if you've got your phones on you if you don't start seeing Ashley Furniture coffee tables start showing up on your Facebook page because your phone can hear it. Because you can sometimes talk about something and the next time you look at your phone, there it is. Advertisement for it. Listening all the time. Don't ever forget that. Listening all the time. Well, it's just computers, is it really? How do you know? Come on, we live in the information age. They know everything about you. They track you. They know where you're at. And when you want to turn the tracking off your phone, you know what they say? You'll lose valuable information, and we won't know what kind of ads to send you. Well, you're not sending me the right ones now. Right? We won't know what your interests are, so we won't know what kind of ads to send you. Anybody ever seen that? Tried? It's there. So there's always these constant bombardments against us to where we have to war a warfare every day if we're going to live the life God wants us to live and help our kids to live that life. If we're going through these things, what do you think they're going through? The difference is we're adults and maybe should know better. But a lot of times the kids don't know better. That's why sometimes they target elderly people with scam stuff. You know, because they're not sure and they think, oh my goodness, did I miss a bill? Well, I sure don't want to be late with the payment. And they get scammed. It's sad, but it's out there. So if all that's out there in the natural, how much more is the enemy bombarding us in the spiritual realm? Coming after us. So we've got 1 Timothy, go over there with me. Look, we've got to constantly understand that we're in a fight. This is familiar. 6:12 here. Here's what Paul tells Timothy. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereon thou art also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. See, anybody thinks you're just going to just live a faithful life or a faith-filled life and not be fighting, you're not going to it. There won't be any faith in it. Because if you're going to actually live a faith life, there's going to be a fight to it. The enemy's going to come. When you start speaking and decreeing things, the enemy's going to try his best to come against it and stop it. When you start declaring the word over yourself, say it's health. If you start declaring the word over yourself, calling those scriptures over yourself, speaking faith over yourself, you know what will happen? A lot of times the symptoms will get worse. Because see, that thing's from the enemy in the first place. And he wants to try to make it look like that faith is not working. But I got news for you. Faith's working. You just keep on. I'll use myself one more time. 3 times in a row, Pastor. Three times in a row. Think about that one now. I've got family that I know been through some of that and whatever. I don't know what the deal is, but one thing is all my life I've been outdoors, and I've burnt myself up more than you know. Who could know how many times I've burnt the top of my head, burnt my face, burnt my nose, burnt everything because I hated wearing a cap. And I don't know if you all have noticed or not, but I don't have a lot of hair right there. You probably hadn't noticed that. No problem. Join the ground. Well, see, for me, it's not so bad because I got hair here. Some, anyway. As long as I don't, you know, it's hard to turn around and look at your back. Anybody ever try to look at the back of your head in the mirror? Now, you women do all the time. I know you comb your hair and you got to have, and I don't have to do that, so I don't know it's gone. I forget that it's gone. I do know it's gone. But I, you know, it went so far, and I wish God learned the word of faith, and I started speaking over it. I ain't losing no more. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I got laughed at over that. Well, that's been 30 years ago. I don't think I've lost any more. You know, again, I can't see, so I don't know. Let me get to my point here. Okay. I'm talking about us having to just stay with faith and just keep speaking it, okay? I don't know if y'all have you noticed this pretty little red marks on my face here. Again, that's from being out in the sun. Those, I guess the sun damages your skin, and after you've been out so long, then especially with certain complexions and stuff, it's worse. And so sometimes you got to go get things burnt. They call it, I don't even know the name of it, technical terms of it, but they call it precancerous cells or whatever, and they say you need to deal with it or to get in your bloodstream, blah, 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 you know. So with me, a lot of times they'll say, we either got to burn you 100 times or you got to use the cream, chemotherapy cream. It just burns the outside of your skin off. That's what it does. If you look, that's kind of what's happened. I'm going the other way with this one and the other way with this one. This one's starting to heal. This one, I'm just started. I'm bringing this to you to show you. You got to do this for 3 weeks, okay? Morning and night. If y'all noticed, I don't know if y'all got to see any of my pretty hairdos or not, but once you put that lotion stuff in your hair it's kind of look like grease and formula, whatever it used to be, you know. But again, I'm getting there, okay? Just slowly, I'm getting there. But you start off day one on that, you put that cream on your face. This is day two, day three for this side of my face. You can see. You'd never know anything was happening. And you just keep day and night, once in the morning, once at night, once in the morning, and once at night. But then all of a sudden, look at this. This happens. Starts burning the outside. Didn't happen on the first day. Didn't happen on the first week. It didn't happen on the second week. It's not till you get to that third week before you start, when you start putting it on, then all of a sudden, hey, that's tender, you know. And what you're doing is you're burning what's burning. Faith. You just keep applying faith morning and night, morning and night, and morning and night. And you may not see a thing that's happening, but you got to realize that it's working under the surface. It's God working all things together for good to them that love and serve Him. It's God moving on your behalf. And then all of a sudden, pow, manifestation. You see what you've been believing for, even though the devil was coming at you telling you it would never happen. See, that's the kind of life God wants us to live. It's worth the fight to just keep on speaking over yourself. Keep speaking over your kids. Keep calling them saved. It don't matter how big a heathens they act like they are. You keep calling them saved. You keep calling them in church. Come on. You keep calling yourself healed. Don't matter how bad you're hurting. Come on now. You keep calling yourself debt-free no matter how much debt you got. You keep calling yourself prosperous even though you ain't prosperous yet. Come on now. Why? Because that's what the Bible says to do. God does that. Right? He calls those things that be not as though they were. If it was wrong, then God's wrong. And how many knows God's not wrong? And so since I'm His kid, I'm just going to mock daddy. If my daddy says it, I'm going to say it. Come on. Why? Because it works. It works. And as we're living out this life, as we're choosing life and we're choosing to speak words of life over ourselves, our lives will begin to change. But again, it's work. And it's not going to happen just automatically. Right? I could leave that cream laying on my bathroom sink right there and look at it every morning and say, "You're working in Jesus' name." And not do anything. And it's not going to work. Did you hear me? See, that's the way a lot of folks do with the Word of God. Yeah, I know the Word says that. You know, I need to apply the Word to my life. But, you know, if you don't apply it, it won't work. And if you apply it, it will work. I promise you, we're living proof that the Word works. All of our young life, we struggled. I wish we'd have known the Word when we was younger. It wasn't until we're in our 30s before we started learning the Word of faith. And that's sad. That's half of our life we missed out on having abundant life, having healing operating in our life, having prosperity happen in our life, having abundant life, having life till it overflows. I don't want our kids to miss that. I want us to choose life so that we live and our kids live. Soon as we learned about tithing, we taught Stephanie tithing. She's working at McDonald's and she's tithing. And she wasn't making a lot of money, but she was still tithing on what she made. I'll never forget the first check she got. She went, "Wow." I said, "What is it, baby?" She said, "I didn't realize they took that much." I said, "Welcome to life, baby. For the rest of your life, you'll see that much being taken. Plus, you need to give God His part." Amen. Yeah, they don't ask. God says, tells you to tithe. He don't make you tithe. They make you. They take your taxes. One way or another, they're going to get their part, right? I heard an interesting thing, and this don't even apply to it, but we're talking about choosing life and choosing the life of God. I just saw that in some states now, you know, they said, stay home, stay home, stay home, right? Work from home, stay home, stay home. Don't get out, don't get around nobody. So a lot of the jobs became stay home jobs, right? They developed a lot of those. Well, I just heard today that, you know, like if you're, you know, a lot, especially around a lot of places where state lines are close, that if you work at home and your company is actually in another state, then you're going to have to pay taxes in the state where your home's at, plus taxes in the state where your office is at. Double taxed. And they have to do it. There's about 9 states that are doing that. They don't ask you. They just do it. Take it from you. Don't give you nothing back. God says, when you tithe, I'll give it back to you. What? More than you can ever receive. Now, I started to say, pressed down good, shaking together, running over, but that's not even on the tithe. That's just on you giving an offering. The tithe is where He opens up the windows of heaven and pours out the blessing that there ain't room enough to receive it. Think about that one now for a minute. And that's not God forcing you to do it. That's you, again, choosing life for you and your kids. And choosing life for them, teaching them about the tithe and giving and what God can do with that. Amen. It's amazing what all God will do. So we got to be careful, and we don't let things drag us away from the life of God. I'll give you a couple of scriptures here. I'll just give it to you, the one, and I'm going to give it to you in the message. It says, friends, this world's not your home. This is 1 Peter 2:11. Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. That's pretty good, isn't it? Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Well, that kind of reminds you of what Jesus said. You know, what would you do if you gained the whole world but lose your own soul? And what would you give in it for in exchange? A lot of folks are indulging their ego. They dream big in this world to be famous, to have this, to have get this, attain that. But it don't mean anything in the scope of eternity. I saw somewhere where it said, you know, that if your child became successful and was with one of the greatest surgeons on earth and could talk about how he was the greatest in the world, but if he didn't have Jesus, then you had failed as a parent. And it is true to a certain extent, because the Bible teaches you and I to train up your child in the way that they should go. And when they get old, they won't depart from it. You see, so we have to be careful that we're not indulging our ego in this world, you know, so people will pat us on the back, because that won't do you any good in heaven. Won't help you get to heaven, matter of fact. So we have to be careful. This life, this fight, this faith fight that we're having, we have to remember that this life is temporary, but we have an eternity that we're looking toward. Amen. So we have to keep fighting this fight. Now, I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to skip and get on through here pretty quick, but let me ask you something. If you knew today was the the last day that you would live on this earth, what would you do? What would be important to you? Have you ever thought about that? If this is it, I was going to go, what would be most important to me? And, you know, I think most people would be saying, well, if I'm leaving the earth, I want to make sure my relationship with Jesus Christ is good and solid. But it should have already been done. But here's the thing. Whatever you thought of and you said, well, this is something I would do if this was my last on earth, that's how important that would be for me. It ought to be that important for you every day. Every day, because every day's a new day. It's a new beginning and it's also an ending for somebody. So we need to live life that way, knowing that, yes, I've got God in my life. I'm ready to go to heaven, but I want to make sure that I'm living this God life at all times so that I can share it with others. People can see it in me and I'll be a witness, because that's what I'm called to be. Every one of us are called to be a witness. Every one of us are called to fight the good fight of faith. When Paul got down to his last days with Timothy, writing to Timothy, he says, and let's just go. I want you to read it for yourself, because I'm going to close with this. I had some more stuff, but we're just going to close it out with this. Go down to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look here in verse 6. Here's what Paul says. He says, "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." In other words, he knows he's leaving. This is it. I'm going. I'm leaving this earth. Well, what would be on Paul's mind at such a time that he knows he's ready to leave? He's ready to leave here. Look at verse 7. "I've fought a good fight." Yes. See that? His first thing is, "I have fought a good fight. I've fought the fight of faith." Yes. "I've finished my course." Yes. "I've done what the Lord wanted me to do." Isn't that pretty cool? "I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith."
Yes.
Yes. I mean, you talk about a testimony. And then he goes on then and says, "Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous just, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing."
Yes.
Church, every day is an opportunity to choose life. And if we don't choose life, guess what? We're going to miss out on it. God wants us living life, the God kind of life, not just the life to be alive, but He wants us full of the Holy Spirit so that we can be examples, witnesses to other people, so that they can see the goodness of God through us. And in the same time, you and I are going to be enjoying the benefits of living that life. All of His benefits are a blessing to us. Stand to your feet with me. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you to help us, Lord, to always choose life. God, not to allow this world to steal life from us, God. But, Lord, that we choose the God kind of life, the faith life, God, life that lives by your word, and also then, Father, is benefited and receives according to the word, so that we can live here the way you want us to live, abundantly blessed above all that we could ever ask or think.